At last, the Gregory party have escaped from the magic island of Euclidea. After searching around the world 14 years for her little daughter Joan, Mrs. Gregory found her on the magic island, a weird colony of brilliant, though mad, scientists. Mrs. Gregory's yacht was captured and held at the island, with Captain Bradford, Jerry Hall, and the crew all prisoners. Then another boat with Johnson, trusted employee of Mrs. Gregory in command, attempted to rescue them, and this boat was also captured. Through the efforts of Jerry and Joan, most of the island machinery was disabled, and the party escaped just after dark. It is only a few minutes since the powerful diesel-motored cruiser swept away from the island, and Mrs. Gregory, Captain Tex Bradford, Jerry Hall, and Joan Gregory talk it over in the radio cabin.
I'm quite all right now, Mother dear.
Now, Joan, your feet are terribly cut up from climbing that concrete chute, and you're dripping wet. Please come into my cabin and put on some dry clothes.
Your mother's right, Joan. Take her in, Pat, and dress those feet a little. Then with some warm, dry clothes on, she can come back here and we'll compare notes.
That's right, Joan. You'd better go in and change your clothes.
Very well, Jerry, if you say so.
See there, Mrs. Gregory? She does just what I tell her.
I can't really blame her for that, Jerry. You and Joan certainly proved you could take care of yourselves when you got us off that mad island. Come, Joan, dear. We'll only be a moment.
Hurry back, Joan. I'll bust if we can't tell our story pretty soon.
Oh, we will hurry, Jerry.
Gee, Tex, Joan's a swell girl. I wish you could have seen her climbing up that concrete thing we had to crawl through for 50 feet.
Yes, I can see your feet now, kid. And I've got a pretty good idea what it must have been like. We'll just put a little dressing on.
Oh, my feet are all right.
Well, maybe, but they'll be mighty sore tomorrow when the excitement is all over. Now, just sit still and let me fix you up.
Oh, well, all right. Gee, but we sure saw things and did things on that funny island. Why, when we were down there, and ouch!
Thought those feet weren't sore.
Well, maybe they are. Oh, maybe they're a little tender.
Yes, I thought so. Now, I'll have this dressing on in a minute. And that salve will help a lot. Then you get into some dry clothes.
Oh, golly whiskers. I don't need any dry clothes.
Yes, you do. Now, that'll hold those feet for a while. Now, you get over there and put on that old sweater and pair of pants of mine. It may not fit any too well, but they'll be dry anyhow.
Okay, Tex. I guess that would be smart.
I'm going to try and raise Johnson and tell him we're away from the island and free to talk now. From what you and Joan said about conditions on the island, we ought to be safe from any danger of pursuit for several hours.
Well, I'll keep wrapping these pants of yours around me. Maybe I'll find some way to get them tied off so they'll stay up.
All right, son. Now I'll try for Johnson. J-24-Y. Calling J-12-C. Captain Bradford on J-24-Y to Johnson. Hello, Johnson. Hello, J-12-C. Trying to save my power. Call me if you're getting this signal. J-24-Y to J-12-C.
It doesn't answer very fast.
Well, I don't know what kind of set he's got to work with on that boat he's on now. Probably a freighter with a regular radio operator, and he'll call Johnson to the mic when he gets a chance.
Here we are again.
Yes, and do I not look nice in Mother's dress?
Oh, you're a knockout, Joan.
Oh, Jerry, you look so funny.
Oh, they're the captain's pants. You made me put them on.
Oh, they look all right, Jerry.
Yeah, they must.
Don't worry about the looks, Jerry. They're warm and dry, and if you don't have to run very fast, I guess they'll stay on.
Well, golly whiskers.
Now, Jerry, do not be angry. You look very nice to me.
And a baby?
Oh, Jerry, how often have I told you that
you
I
You are
not
a baby. Oh, I know.
That sounds natural.
And now that we have a few minutes with nothing to do but wait and see how far our fuel will carry us, suppose we try to straighten out some of the things which happened to us.
Well, Jerry and I can tell our experiences very quickly, but first we would like to hear what happened to you and the captain while we were down inside the island.
Yeah, when Joan and I left the yacht, you were just transferring the stuff to this boat.
Well, we completed the transfer through the holes in the hulls of the two boats and waited on the yacht until it was dark. Then we all went into the radio cabin. It was lined with Euclidean cloth, remember? It was perfectly soundproof.
Yeah, we know that. But how did you get from the yacht to this boat when the time came?
We knew that the Euclideans would have a guard on the pier watching the yacht. And we were afraid they knew that you two were down inside the island. So we tried to make it appear you were on the yacht.
They knew where Jerry and I were most of the time. Though the alarm gong did ring frantically from one level to another as they tried to locate us when we were escaping.
There, Tex, didn't I tell you those bells meant they were chasing Jerry and Joan from one level to another?
Looks like you were right, Pat. Well, we knew we had to get on this boat to make our escape. And so when it was dark, we cut through the floor of the radio cabin and went down into the hold and transferred to the other boat, this boat, through those holes. Then we waited for word from you kids.
Oh, and you took the yacht radio with you down into the hull of this boat, didn't you? And those homing pigeons.
Yes, Jerry. We waited and waited. Then we heard the signal to submerge the island, and two Euclidean guards came aboard the yacht. Fortunately, they didn't look into any cabin or try to speak to anybody. They simply went to the rail and cut the lines which lashed the two boats together.
Gee, that was slick, Tex. And you were ready, listening with the radio hot, when Joan and I sent the message to Johnson from the island radio room.
Right, Jerry.
You and Mother did it all very cleverly, Captain Tex.
We only did the natural thing, dear. In fact, the only thing. We didn't have much choice about our activities. Now, you two tell us what happened to you.
Well, when we left here, we went down inside.
Wait a minute. One at a time.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
We went down inside the island.
Oh,
golly whisker.
I think we'd better referee this thing, Pat.
Looks like it might expedite matters. Suppose you start, Joan.
Yes, Mother. As you know, Jerry and I had two of the 300-second ray guns, which I had taken from the commander when Gas put the Euclideans in the laboratory to sleep. So we felt reasonably safe. But the problem was how to get down inside the island without exciting suspicion, as we knew the Euclidean guard in the voice control chamber on the surface was hearing everything we said as we walked across the island. But Jerry solved that very nicely.
How was that, Jerry?
Well, I just talked good and loud about the formula you had given me to wake these men up with, and how we had to hurry to the laboratory with it. Of course, the guard heard me, and when Joan asked for the elevator, she got it quick.
That was very quick thinking, Jerry.
Oh, Jerry was very clever, Mother.
Oh, you finally got that straightened out anyway.
Jerry. Well, then we went into the sound channel on the fifth level, where we could talk in privacy. And I showed Jerry the scale model of the island. And from it, we planned our attack on the vital parts of the power and control system.
Say, you two kids work just like a machine. Go on.
But just as Joan and I were ready to leave for the power rooms, one of the Euclidean guards came in. Joan fired her ray gun like she'd shot me, and I fell down. Joan sent for the guard for orders about me, and we got out of there.
And then we climbed down the ladder inside the elevator shaft to the 100-foot level.
50 feet down a dark elevator shaft?
Yes, Mother. We landed safely, however, and by using the ray on a guard, we were able to get into the power rooms and shut off the electricity and flood the power room. And as Jerry flooded the room, I took out the fuses and threw them in the water.
Great work, kids. But how about this submerging operation they just completed as we got away? How did they do that without power?
I wondered about that, Joan, and you were too busy to tell me.
The island may be submerged to a depth of 40 feet by gravity, aided by reserve emergency tanks of compressed air.
Those Euclideans certainly thought of everything. But how did you get out of the lower level after the rooms were flooded?
Well, that's where we had to climb 50 feet up the inside of a concrete and steel chute. It was like a corkscrew, but almost straight up.
And that is where we hurt our hands and feet so badly. I could never have reached the platform but for Jerry helping me.
Then we just took a chance and used a private elevator from the fifth level to the surface. And it comes up inside the control room. Joan used a ray gun to put another guard to sleep there. And we sent the message to Johnson that you heard.
It was while Jerry and I were climbing up that terrible upright tunnel that you heard most of the signals ringing as they rushed from floor to floor trying to locate us.
Gee, I hated to leave the commander in that laboratory asleep with G-47, those other Euclideans. But Joan figured she would be safe there. And when we came back to take over the island, we could rescue her. She sure did a big thing when she let herself be put to sleep so we could escape.
Yes, you bet she did. We'll see that she's taken care of one of these days. Just as we'll take care of everybody on that island who wants to lead a decent life in our world.
I think it's only G-47 and a few of his assistants who are really criminals. The rest are merely prisoners doing the bidding of the scientists.
That is true, Mother. The prisoner we brought from the control room is one of the scientists, however. One of the chief electrical engineers. And he is very dangerous and clever.
Gee, have you got him locked up good, Tex?
Locked up and guarded. The skipper and McLeod will handle him without any trouble.
Well, that is the end of our story, I think, Captain.
No, it isn't, Joan. It's only the beginning. We've got to know a lot about that island before we consider ourselves safely away.
Yes, Joan, dear. For one thing, how long will the island remain submerged and more or less helpless?
That will depend greatly on how long the Captain's formula will keep them asleep.
What if help doesn't arrive right away? I mean, what if we're without fuel and have to depend on what little way we can make with our makeshift sail? How much time will we have before the Euclideans will send a submarine or an airplane out after us?
I think not later than daylight, even with most of the scientists asleep.
Can they pump out those lower chambers and raise the island again that soon?
Oh, yes, Captain. If any of the men left active understand it, and they undoubtedly will. You see, they carry enough reserve compressed air to drive the water out and raise the island without any electricity.
Golly, Whiskers. Then we may not be doing so good after all.
Johnson to J-24Y.
Quiet, everybody, now. Hello, Johnson. Bradford. We're safely off the island, but short of fuel. Go ahead.
Running for Los Angeles. Our fuel supply nearly exhausted. Left a lighted buoy on your course. We'll rush other aid soon as possible. Give further news later. That's all. Hold your set on 6 meters. Better for this receiver. Sorry. That's all.
Gee, he's not much help.
Oh, Mother, what will we do now?
Now, steady, kids, till I work this out. Johnson said 6 meters. He knows his set it weak at 6 meters. Something.
Text. Code. Try every sixth letter. The six is for some good reason.
Right, Pat. Every sixth letter. Fuel. Buoy. Other. Farther.
Gee, that means he left a lighted buoy on our course with an oil drum tied to it.
And that other farther means he's leaving lighted oil drums all along our course.
Oh, that Johnson is a wonderful man.
You bet he is. And we'll be a lot of miles from Euclidea daylight.